Hey, this is Pearls and Swine, and today it is just Travis and I. I'm Levi, and we're going to just be chatting about something that's kind of a little bit mysterious, something that we're directed to do, and we're directed to do all the time. And one of the things that happened to me in this last week was this topic of prayer just keeps coming up. And so I'm in the sauna with one of my kids, and we have an Alexa outside in the changing room. And so if you come sauna with dad, you usually get to, you know, as long as it's not rap, you get to choose the music. And so he chooses some country music, and he wanted to listen to 5'9". You know, I don't know what the words.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
God makes the good stuff.
God makes the good stuff. Yeah. So you know how Alexa works. Like, we didn't pay for the subscription. So you get that song, and then it just starts playing like random songs. And it starts to play this song by Jelly Roll, Need a Favor. And it says, I only talk to God when I need a favor, and I only pray when I ain't got a prayer. And then it goes on. I won't read any more of the lyrics. But we listen to this song, and it's really about like how this guy only prays when he needs God to do something for him. And my kid goes to me as we're listening to this. He goes, Dad, why do we pray? Like, if God knows everything, which is good theology, why do we need to pray? And I mean, we're now like 10 minutes into the steam, and I'm like, you know, I stumble and bumble through. Kind of some like, hey, you know, Jesus tells us to pray, and Jesus prayed, and you know, it's part of us being connected to God, you know, all the kind of the churchy type of answers. And he kind of accepts that. We go swimming after that, and we kind of come back, but this thought of like, yeah, that's a really great question. Why? And I've thought of that question before, but like, not how to maybe articulate why it's so important to pray. And so I get, and this is the second thing, I'm watching, as you know, I watch other preachers. I'm watching this guy out of California. He's a really good dude preach, because I like to have sermons, you know, the word of God preached at me. And this is one of the ways I do. So I listen to two or three sermons a week just to hear other people speak, hone my craft, but also to have the word of God kind of poured over me. And he's speaking on prayer, and he begins to talk about his prayer life, and it seemed fairly good. He prays in the morning, prays in the evening, prays a couple times during the day, and I thought, yeah, well, that seems pretty similar. You know, yeah, that sounds about right. And he goes, but I don't pray enough. And I was like, oh, no, we're going into, like, you know, some ascetic type of weirdness at this point. And he says, see, prayer is always connected to our dependency upon God. And I forget that I need to be dependent upon God and many things in my life. And I went, oh, that's really good. And so then after that, I read this story of this lady. She was in Nepal, or she was working with, how do you say that? Nepalese people?
I think it's Nepalese, yeah.
Nepalese? Yeah.
Nepalians.
Nepalians, yeah. And so it's like monsoon season there. And this story you would appreciate is about snakes.
Oh, lovely.
And so it's this big monsoon thing, and it floods the snake holes. They come out and they swim around because there's so much water. And so that morning, though, they were praying, and they were there doing some missionary work, and they were praying for God's protection. They were just praying that God would protect their family, and, you know, kind of the common prayers that you pray with your kids. Well, the monsoons come in, and she's standing out there, and she's talking on a balcony, which is a little bit off of the ground, but there's still water. That's kind of coming up, and she's talking to the neighbor, and she's just, you know, just talking to her, you know, whatever. They're out there for a while. One of her younger kids come out and say hello, give mom a hug to go before she goes to bed. She's out there about 10 minutes. And as she's out there, she notices this rope that's off of the balcony. And she's like, oh, my boys, they're so crazy. They're probably jumping off the balcony. And so the power's out, and so it's just moonlight. So she's looking at that thing, and she's about 3 or 4 inches away from it and paying no attention and is talking. And so then the power all of a sudden turns on. Now, her daughter's been out there, like, within, like, a few inches. And the power turns on, and it's a venomous snake that's, like, 5 feet long. Looks like a rope. It's just hanging on right there. Its head is, like, inches away from them, and it does not bite them. She squeals, and her husband comes running with... He knows immediately it's a snake issue. He comes running with the snake stick and grabs the thing. But she was just talking about, like, this simple prayer of dependence, of God protect us in the midst of this, that she didn't know that that was going to happen, and yet God's provision was there. But there was a dependence in the morning that really God protected in the evening. And it's just, I thought it was just a kind of a beautiful, kind of a little story about that. But the reality of our dependence upon God, like, who would have thought the rope was a snake?
Me.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, when we think about prayer, it is kind of a weird concept. I mean, God is huge. We're these tiny little specks in the universes that he's created. And we have this capability to be able to speak to him on all kinds of things. It reminds me of, like, the movie Bruce Almighty, when Jim Carrey takes over as God because
everyone wins the lottery.
Yeah. And he gets the email, God's email, and it's all these prayer requests that come in, and he's just like, I can't take this. There's too much chatter. There's too much noise. So he just responds yes to all of them. And, like, I sometimes think, like, does God get annoyed with all the little things that we ask and talk about? And, you know, because, I mean, if I'm honest, I pray about things that aren't always all that important. You know, I come to God with little things like, oh, I'm running late. God, get me there on time. Or, you know, protect me from this little thing. It might not be a snake. But, you know, just these little, really small things in life. And it's like you said, being in constant communication with God, like the Jesus Storybook Bible puts it really well when it's like, God wants to hear your chats. If God is a good heavenly father, it's like being a dad to your little kid, and they come up on your lap and you just listen to all of the crazy little things that they're talking about in their day. And we don't just get annoyed with them usually, unless they keep going on and on. That happens sometimes. But like a good father would listen to his little toddler kid just sharing his day. Those things are important. It's that relational connection. And I think for us, prayer can sometimes seem like irrelational because we're not always hearing a verbal response or a communication right back. And I think that's for a lot of us, and I've found myself in those places too, where it's like talking to yourself. But the more that you engage in that, and the more that you kind of soak yourself in scripture and hang out with God's people, like your prayer life changes your life. You start to have eyes to see things differently. You know, we move in a fast-paced, go, go, go world, and we don't slow down all that much to see the things that are around us. And when we do, you actually see a lot of God moving and working in his goodness that you normally, we just pass by.
Yeah, I think that the other thing I was just thinking about is Jesus, who was God, or is God, comes down to earth, is God in the bod, leaves his glory to come down here, puts on human flesh, is tempted in every human way. He's not acting as God in that moment. He's acting as a dependent servant, and he's acting human in that. And what does he do?
Praise.
He prays.
All the time.
You know, after he, like in Matthew 14:23, he says, after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. He like, and it like energizes him. He wants to commune with the Father. And, you know, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to solitary place where he prayed. This is all through the scriptures. In that instance, they're like, where'd he go? Like, he was always going off, and he was always praying. He was always connected to the Father. Prayer is one of the ways that we communicate with God. It's also, prayer allows us to participate in God's works. And so when Jesus was praying, he was working through the Spirit. All the things he did, changing water into wine, healing people, you know, making the lame to walk, the blind to see, was all done through the power of the Spirit working in and through him. And which is really a powerful thought, that God of the universe is part of that Trinity and this communion with him, and they're all working in conjunction together. And Jesus did it, and so should we. I was reading another story, and this is from Guatemala.
They're called Guatemalans. I know that one.
Guatemalans.
Sure.
Yeah. So these people go down, and this guy's a dentist, and so he's charged with going from place to place and like village to village because they don't have dental care in kind of the jungle. And so he's going out into this thing. They can't, there's no roads, like there's pathways that you take a donkey on and you walk it from village to village. And so him and his wife are on this trip, and their young son was on this trip with them. It wasn't a horrible walk to this thing, you know, it was like 6 miles or something. And there's guides, and so it was kind of like a walk in the jungle. They get there, dad does his stuff, the dental stuff, and they were just really hoping that they could impact people. And so they pray that morning, God, use us how you want us to be used in this to impact people for your name's sake. And so they're cruising along, and they're going up this like embankment, and the wife happens to be on the donkey. And the donkey is like, uh-uh, nope, not going up this thing. And so the guide grabs it and just kind of yanks it. Well, the whole mountainside, basically, they're on the side of this cliff, breaks apart. The donkey didn't want to go because he didn't want to go on that thing. And the donkey and the woman fall 25 feet. She hits a rock coming down, knocks herself silly, and then lands on a boulder. Well, the husband thinks she's dead. He runs down there and begins to pray. Like, oh God, I can't believe this is happening. And he takes his shirt and he's like, just, he thought she was dead. He soaks it in water and he starts to wipe her head. And she wakes up and is like, I think I broke my back. And is the donkey okay? That was her first two questions. And so they can't get her out of there. They're in the middle of the jungle. And he begins to pray. He has to stay there all night with her. And he has some narcotics because he's a dentist. So he starts to feed her some narcotics. But there's this huge gash on her head. And I think what he did is he took some penicillin type stuff, grinds it up, and starts pouring it into the wound to try to make sure that there is no infection. And he's waiting there. And he says he can hear jaguars. And so he's praying and going, God, we want your name to be blessed. And that's all we want to do. Why are we here? He's asking all of these questions, right? The villagers come back. They get help. They get him out in the morning. Well, now they're still ways away. And it's Sunday. And they get her back to this little village, which has no like medical care whatsoever. You know, they have like a shaman or something like that. But there's not real like Western medicine, I guess. And so they're like, well, the plane won't come by here. The plane doesn't come by on Sundays. The guy will not fly on Sundays.
Chick-fil-A pilot.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A pilot. Yep. And so he begins to pray, God, like... And he begins to pray, and like a half hour later, they hear the prop plane coming. So the people are like going crazy. They begin to wave this thing down. They get her out of there. They get her to a place where it has a little bit more medical help, and then they finally get her up to Maryland. They tell her, basically, you're probably not going to walk very well. You might walk, but you're going to have memory loss, all this stuff. Long story short, she goes through rehab. She's there for a long time, mind you, like months and months, like almost a year, I think. She can walk. She has no real lasting impact other than a little bit of nerve damage. But the whole thing, this is the really crazy part. Remember what they prayed in the beginning? God, help us to just to impact these people and bless your name. Well, these people were so embarrassed by having outsiders come in to help them with their dental care that it made a highway because they were able to help them and get her out of there, and she lived and survived. They became really receptive to the gospel and to lift Jesus' name up because they were no longer ashamed that they didn't have this stuff, but that they could help and be a part of it.
That's and so cool.
Not exactly probably what they were expecting in the prayer, but just a really powerful, like, sometimes we don't always understand what God is doing. And he, as my kid said, God does know everything, so why do we have to pray? Well, we pray because we want to interact and be a part of what God is doing.
Yeah. I think for me, that hits home a little bit. Like, we assume we're going to pray about the big things, right? That seems like...
Only talk to God when I need a favor.
You know, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Yep.
And, you know, 1 Thessalonians, we mentioned that passage at the beginning, we're to pray without ceasing and always be in communication with God. And it seems so much easier when there's big stuff going on. But we're to pray to him in the little stuff, too. And sometimes that's hard because the little stuff seems mundane. Like I said before, God seems so big and we're so small that how can somebody that infinitely large really care to hear those little pains and ache prayers and the complaints that we have? But like you said, in that big story, you don't know how God's going to use that and work through your prayers. And we were on a mission trip with the youth a couple weeks back now down to West Virginia. And our group was pretty young. We had middle school and high school kids, but heavy on the middle school age kids. And we had a lot of our service projects were what you would consider kind of mundane task. We washed windows throughout the town on the businesses. We did some painting work, lawn mowing, yard work, things like that. Nothing that would stick out to you as like super important, super impactful for people. But the last night that we were there, we had an opportunity to pray with Pastor Dennis was the guy at the church there and some of the ladies that were helping to run VBS. And the people that we were working with there were tied to their church community. And so we just got to pray with them, and it was a Holy Spirit moment. We saw God just was in our midst, in our presence, and it was so impactful on the kids because we did our devotion debrief time after that before we went to bed. And some of the kids, a lot of the kids, and some of them that weren't too open with sharing their experience were like, this impacted me so much to see how the little things that we did made such a difference in these people's lives. And that had been our prayer, like, God, use us. You've sent us, we've said yes, we'll go, we'll show up, and we'll do whatever you want us to do. But in the midst of those kind of mundane things, we were still praying for that, but it was hard to see how this was going to be impactful.
How did you see it in that time of prayer?
Just, so we prayed for those guys, and then afterwards, like, there wasn't a dry eye from the folks at that church in the circle, and they just were hugging on the kids and saying, thank you guys so much, you don't know how much this blessed us, how much this blessed our community, how many positive comments we've had. We saw 6 kids in that VBS program come to accept Jesus. And that wasn't, I'm not saying it's because of what we were doing. It was because we were open-handed with what God wanted to do through those kids. And they loved on those kids. They learned their names, what they were into, and what they liked to do for fun. And every night that we were there for the 2.5 hours that we ran VBS in the evening, making connections, building friendships. And at the end of the trip, when we had to leave that Friday morning, they didn't want to go. They were like, we've built such a rapport with these people and we've cultivated such deep relationships that we can't leave. There's still work here to be done. And the cool thing is that was our prayer from the beginning. Like, God, use us for your good, to share your good with others and for your glory. And it was just in the moments, the small things didn't seem like that. But when you got to the end of it and could look back, it was like, wow.
Yeah, I think that's just cool because there's kind of a dual change there, right? Mm-hmm. God was working on those people that were in that community through the willingness for you guys to go, but he was also working on those students' hearts, who were probably signing up at some level. Like, there's some good things. Yeah. Hang out with my buddies and do that type of thing. But God changed them and changed their hearts through that. You know, one of the things that I think that prayer, C.S. Lewis talks about in Mere Christianity, I think it's in chapter 3 of Mere Christianity, and he talks about this concept that humans were made for prayer. And what he talks about and what he says in that is that he is talking about our design, and he says God designed the human machine to run on himself, being God. Like, we're designed to run on, like, being connected to God. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. And so when we decide not to pray, we're like an episode of Alone where you don't have enough food. and you're like, I'm just trying to survive. And God doesn't want you just to survive. He wants you to thrive. And what I think God and what Jesus taught us when he was here is, in order to thrive, we need to be people of prayer and people who are connected to God in that way. So I want to just encourage you to participate in what God is doing today through prayer. And I want to leave with this one verse today on good news you can use. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That is good news you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you would like to catch up on any of our previous Pearls and Swine episodes here on Good News You Can Use, you can find those on your podcast device of your choosing. Just search out Evangel Houghton. You can go to our website, evangelup.org, and find them there as well. Or if you've got any topics or questions that you'd like us to cover or answer, shoot those over to me, Travis@evangelup.org.